There we go. 30 straight minutes of Sun Talk here on the Burns and Gambo Show. This is something we do every single Wednesday, where we bring in our favorite Suns guests and we just have as casual a conversation we can about the Suns and what they're up to. And a special thanks going out to our in-studio guest today, A, because he already put in his time here at the station for four solid hours this morning, co-hosting the Bickley and Marotta show, and he had to come back to the building, but... thank you, Vince Marotta, for stepping up.
You're welcome.
On this day before Thanksgiving, when you should probably be home watching Adam Sandler movies, maybe?
It's not really a great Adam Sandler Thanksgiving movie.
There isn't? Okay.
I want to amend something you said on the intro, though. It was like, we invite our favorite guest. Today, it was just the first sucker that said yes.
Pretty much. Oh, Vinny, you were
so
the...
So, you got it. Getting out of here. You've done that morning show before. When it's 10 o'clock, you want to get out.
You want to get out. But I will say you're the second sucker about doing this show. I was the first. Okay?
And you got the full four.
Yeah.
That's great. You see, guys, on the other side of the glass? Yeah. I knew today was going to be hard. I knew today was going to be hard because everyone was like, oh, man. It's the day before Thanksgiving. I don't want to come in there and do that. But we're just going to keep it as loose and have as much fun as we can. Lorenzo Alexander's filling in for Gambo, so the three of us here are kicking around the Suns team. Of course, Vinny, also the PA announcer for a number of years for the Suns as well, which is why he is at or near the top of our list when it comes to Suns guests. 14 straights tonight. What? All right, this might require digging deep looking on the schedule, but off the top of your head, what, Vinny, has been your favorite or best win of the 13 so far?
Ooh.
You got one that stands out? And so I'm going to ask you, too, if you need to cheat and take a look at the schedule to see if you can remember who they played.
It's like picking your favorite kid at this point, isn't it?
Yeah, 13 of them, yeah.
I'll go with the first one because, I mean, normally beating Denver as soundly as they beat Denver would be high up on the list, but, I mean... I have a heart, even, and I looked at the roster, the players that the Nuggets put out there, and there was no Jokic, and there's no Murray, and there's no Porter. And
Did you see the P.J. Dozier injury, too?
I didn't see that.
He tore his ACL.
Oh, man.
That team is cursed.
Now, I'll feel bad for them now, but I don't want to hear from Denver fans when the playoffs roll around. If P.J. Dozier was healthy, it all would have been different. So I'll go with the first one, because they beat Cleveland to start this streak. They played okay, played good defense in that game. Cleveland was much more fully functional at that point. They had Evan Mobley. They had Colin Sexton. And that was kind of the first reassurance of, okay, the Suns can get their stuff together. Because they had started out, with the 1-3 beginning. And I'm not saying I was worried, but a little bit of trepidation on, okay, how are they going to react to being the hunted now? And that game kind of... I think calmed some people's nerves, so I'll go with that one.
Okay, Zoe, I see you scrolling through. You got one that stands out to you? And I'll just, while you're looking, I'll just say part of the reason why I asked is because, and I can't believe I'm saying that, I'm not trying to diminish at all for a second a 13-game win streak.
Right.
It's incredible. It hasn't been the best of competition.
No.
Dallas without Luka twice.
Right.
Denver, we mentioned, no Nikola Jokic, no Jamal Murray, no Michael Porter Jr. There hasn't been... like a ton of marquee moments in there in terms of the opposition. You got one that stands out to you?
It probably be maybe for me the Hawks. I mean, that week I went to I think three of the five games when they was at that five game homestand.
Mm-hmm.
I believe.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because when I'm at home, I get distracted. Kids, son, something, the dog, wife asked me to do something. So I never can watch a game, from start to finish.
Leave
and I'm pretty
alone.
Right. I'm pretty sure there's some other better games in there. But I really like that one because that's that first one I went to that week. They played poorly but won. I think they had like 14 turnovers but was able to find out a way. The other game was similar to that way. And I think that was the first game where I started seeing, oh, they came out strong. Play some really solid basketball and then finished them off. It still wasn't their best, but I thought they were really starting to take a turn as far as starting to improve how they were playing from start to finish. So that probably was my favorite.
That's a good one, too. I'd add another one to the list, the road game at Memphis.
That was mine.
That was a complete domination.
That was mine.
Against a pretty good up-and-coming team where they didn't have DeAndre Ayton and they had a lot of balance. They shot the three really well in that game. That was another one for
me. Yeah, I chose that one in looking at the list. I chose that one as my favorite because I think there has been subpar competition for the Suns throughout this streak. Again, not to minimize what they've done. But for me, that game was evidence that when they do play somebody that is up there a little bit, right? When they do play someone that's going to command and demand their respect a little bit more, there's this gear that they can get to, and they just flattened Memphis that night. And so it makes me feel better when the Golden States start rolling in here, when the Utahs start rolling in here, their ability to turn it up a notch when the quality of competition gets up the notch, that makes me feel better about
that. Yeah, and I ought to say another game that I really enjoyed, I believe it was the Portland game. That was the Frank the Tank game, right? And
that was the Frank the Tank game.
That game was really fun to be at. I was there to watch that one, too. So just to see him in there dominate, I think he had like 40 or something, him and JaVale just dominate the paint, that was a fun game. It was almost a throwback when the big men are just taking over.
Yeah. Has there been a theme to this win streak, Vinny, that you've like an overarching that kind of connects some or all of the games? Or when you have 13 straight wins, is it impossible to have an overarching theme because every game is a little bit different?
It hasn't been the case in all the games, but we've talked a lot about it, and I know a lot of other people around the Suns have talked about it. Their ability to flip the switch in the fourth quarter when things are tight. And even, you know, credit to San Antonio last time out. The Suns flipped the switch in the fourth quarter. They went from 5 to up 15 in the blink of an eye, and San Antonio fought back. But the Suns' ability to focus, play really good defense on one end, and turn it into, I mean, you know, they've got two closers in the fourth quarter. They have Chris Paul. They have Devin Booker. And they start making shots in the fourth quarter, it's demoralizing. So I think there's been, you know, a handful of those games where the Suns have been able to just say, all right, you know, enough messing around. We've played with our food enough. It's time to finish the meal now. And that's, you know, that's something that can carry over to the playoffs. Yeah. And with this team, with the experience they had last year, I think that's something to watch.
So, right. So is there any, like, internal issue with that, right? Because, you know, obviously you want to be able to turn it on, right? Games are won in the fourth quarter to be able to pull away from teams. But sometimes you have to, you know, just put so much energy out there versus teams that you shouldn't have to. And you think about a guy like CP3, right, and him being a year older in the, you know, 82-game schedule wearing down. Is anybody concerned about what that looks like versus just taking care of teams right off the bat?
I think there's some level of that, Zoe. You know, obviously for a team that good, when we're talking about this level of competition during the streak, you'd like to have garbage time. You'd like to have, you know, Jalen Smith getting some minutes. You'd like to have Chandler Hutchison and Elfrid Payton out there. That hasn't happened too often, so I think it's a little bit nitpicky. We talked about this on our show, too. On the Chris Paul front, he's reached a level where he's able to, and I think Jared, our producer, brought this up. Really good point by him. It doesn't happen a lot.
Right. Hey, he kind of a broken clock is right twice a day.
But this was really good. He kind of diagnosed that Chris Paul can load manage in the course of a game.
Yeah.
Like, he can kind of pick and choose his spots early, get everybody involved, and then if it's close in the fourth quarter, we've seen it numerous times where, okay, time to take over. And there was a game recently, I think it was, they all mashed together. I think it was the last home game before.
The one where he had 19 of his 21 in the fourth quarter? Who was that again? Is that the one you were talking about?
Yeah, maybe it was one of the Dallas games where
Dallas.
The shot wasn't falling in the fourth quarter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the 0-for-12 game, but he still had like 15 assists.
Right.
Yeah.
Like
no turnovers. Yeah.
But it's surprising when you get to that point in the game and you're like, okay, you can recognize it's Chris Paul time.
Yep.
And when he gets to the spot that he wants every single time and he releases it and you're thinking layup.
Yeah.
And when it doesn't go in, you're surprised. And sometimes it won't go in, but for the most part, it will.
I'm completely shocked about this. Because you make adjustments, right? How does the guy like that get to his spot anytime he wants to? It just turns it on. It's like, man, you don't know where he's running to?
Yeah. That little spot right off the elbow. Yeah. I'm going to go there. I'm going to hit it. I'm going to go back. I'm going to hit it. I'm going to go back and back and back.
It's amazing.
You're not going to be able to do anything about it.
You know what amazes me is every single time he's on the floor and the opponent has four team fouls, everybody in the gym, except for his defender, knows what move is coming. He's doing the rip through, and he's getting to the free throw line. He gets veterans. He gets rookies. I've never talked to him about that, but I would love to hear just how much pride he takes in being able to lure defenders into that situation. He's such a phenomenal player.
When we come back here on the Burns and Gambo show with Lorenzo Alexander filling in and with Vince Murata in for our round ball roundtable, we'll keep it rolling. Suns talk with Vince Murata, and we'll talk about JaVale McGee. Is he the newcomer in Valley Sports that we're the most thankful for on this, the day before Thanksgiving? That's coming up. Burns and Gambo. Lorenzo Alexander's filling in for Gambo today, and Vince Murata is our special guest on the Round Ball Roundtable as he came back in after his morning shift today co-host of the Bickley and Murata show, and also the PA announcer for the Phoenix Suns. So it's a great guy to talk Suns basketball with on our round ball round table. And frankly, he's the only one who returned our call. So he's here as well for that. they look to extend the road trip, or the winning streak, I should say, tonight in Cleveland, taking on the Cavs. That's a game that we'll hear at 5 o'clock on ESPN 620. DeAndre Ayton has become, has never not been a guy that we've talked about when it comes to the Suns, obviously. Thought he turned the corner against the playoffs last year, didn't get financially compensated for it with the contract extension. We've been down that road before. Zo, I'm going to start with you on this one. From what you've been able to watch of the Suns when you're not getting, you know, pulled a thousand different directions, are you seeing the same DA, a better DA, a more aggressive version of him?
Right.
You know, contract or no contract, what sort of evolution are you seeing out of DeAndre Ayton so far this year?
I've enjoyed this version of DA, right? The maturity, the development. I told my cousin, I'll blast him out. My cousin Jason Alexander, we were just in Vegas over the weekend and kind of just talking basketball. And I refuse to talk basketball with him, really, for the most part, until he says something stupid because he just doesn't know it. And he's so caught up in wanting DA to be like a Shaq mentality, right? But that's not who DA is. He won't ever be that mentality. And yeah. I'm saying stop judging him based on what you would like him to be, but watching his development and growth from where he started as a young player and now with the tutelage of JaVale McGee and CP3, just seeing the development, right? He's always had the athletic ability, the skill set. Now you're starting to see the mentality start to be incorporated too with him, and so he's been dominant. I've really enjoyed it. I've loved the aggression come out, and now you just want to make sure that it is him, right? You know, so as and that he adopts it for himself, and that you don't constantly need a CP3 or JaVale McGee to constantly remind him, and they know that in the locker room, you know, as they see it. But I've liked it. I've liked the production. I've liked the change. And the attitude, and I think that's only going to make, you know, better for him, obviously, this team. And then eventually, as he continues to do this, I think it's really going to prove to James Jones and the rest of the organization that this guy deserves it.
Yeah. Vinny, what have you seen out of Ayton so far?
I agree with a lot of what Zo said. It's a continued growth. I think we forget that he's still so young and still so early in this NBA journey. And he said something this week that I absolutely loved. When he said, yeah, I didn't like the way I played in the finals. And I think most people who watch that Suns run intently would say the first three series that they played against the Lakers, against the Nuggets, and against the Clippers, that DeAndre Ayton was the most consistent, maybe the most valuable player they had. Now, he didn't have the flashiest stats, but he was there every single game. And most people would give him a pass because Giannis was on a mission. He was not going to be denied. And even the biggest critics of DeAndre Ayton kind of said, well, yeah, look, he tried, but nobody was stopping Giannis. He very easily could have given himself that pass. So to hear him say that publicly, I didn't like the way I played in the finals. I wanted to be more aggressive, but it just didn't work out. I think he is taking tutelage from JaVale McGee. Yeah. JaVale McGee, you know what you're going to get from him. The guy plays with his hair on fire. He never takes a play off. He's going to use his fouls. He's a maniac out there, and I mean that in the most glowing terms, you know, as a complimentary term.
Right.
And it's starting to rub off. And I think Frank Kaminsky and his offensive skill is starting a little bit to rub off on DeAndre Ayton. That drive to the hoop the other night where he put the ball on the floor, dribbled past a defender, faked a pass, and then dunked.
I don't even know how many minutes of basketball the Suns have played so far this year, how many quarters of basketball they've played this year. That singular play by DeAndre Ayton has become such a talking point. Mm-hmm. I mean, that fake dribble handoff to Book as he's going around him at the foul line, and DeAndre Ayton recognizing that everybody's going with Book and nobody's with him, quick turn to the left, dribble aggressively to the basket and going at the rim strong. And to hear the story after the game, Devin Booker, man, I've been waiting 3 bleepity bleep years for you to do that, right? I've been waiting 3 years for you to make that move, and you finally did it. And I do think, Zo, to Vinny's point, that JaVale McGee and his just sheer aggression right. when attacking the rim is starting to rub up on. But I like what you said a second ago. You got to get to the point with DeAndre Ayton where He's just going to do that on his own and not because there's a JaVale McGee showing him how. He's going to do that on his own and not just because there's a Chris Paul telling him what to do all the time, right?
Right, but that's the process. That's where we're at in the process where he has to have that, right? And he's young, he's still learning, and he's never had to really tap into that because he's always been dominant.
Yeah.
And what I like about JaVale McGee in that relationship is that he's relatable, right? You know, I mentioned this earlier, going back to when he was with the Wizards. He was all over the place, didn't know who he was, just immature, doing some silly stuff, right? But then he's had that tutelage during his career, you know, being around guys with the Warriors, winning multiple championships and really growing up. And so he's able to tell D.A., hey, this is what I was. You see this, but this is where I was at. So, hey, this is the plan. This is how you get better. This is what you do. And I think D.A. is being able to relate to that and then take that more. So it's not like he's like – JaVale is talking at him, but talking with him and trying to help him and understand.
I think for a lot of young players, you have to have a willingness to learn. You have to be ready to learn. And in his rookie season, DeAndre Ayton's rookie season, I mean, that team was not good. They won 19 games. Yeah. They had a lot of players. They had a one-year coach who was kind of a fish out of water. But he did have a guy that I think he could have learned from and maybe did in the grand scheme of things playing behind him in Rashawn Holmes. Same type of player, younger in his career, but a guy who played really hard. But I don't know if DA was ready to learn at that point from a player setting that kind of example in practice every day and when you see those minutes on the floor. I think in year four, he's way more ready to learn from a – and it's easier to learn from a guy who's been through it and won multiple rings and won a gold medal over the summer in JaVale McGee.
That definitely validates it. It opens it up versus a young player that's doing the same thing but doesn't have the same credentials or story necessarily.
And then the other thing to consider with Ayton, I think, too, is that based off of the way the roster is built, he – maybe defensively he needs to be the man. Offensively, he does not need to be the guy on this team. And I think that might be a difficult lesson for all top picks to learn, and certainly all first overall picks to learn, is that the Suns don't need you to be Joel Embiid. All right, the Suns don't need you to be Karl Anthony Towns. They don't. And so this role, narrow though it might be and somewhat limited in its scope, you be great at that, and everything else will take care of itself around you. We don't need you to stay in this lane, be great in this lane, and you'll be fine because we've got everything else covered around you. And I think that really benefits him, too, that he's accepted that is his lane. Be great at what you do.
I think you're exactly right.
Yeah. Devin Booker. If I were to... Devin Booker, what kind of a start do you think he's off to so far this season? I'll just kind of throw it out generically.
Yeah, well, you know, I got a fan's eye when it comes to basketball. So, for me, I've really enjoyed it because obviously he struggled shooting the ball, especially early on, right? New basketball, long, short off season, all those things, and it's starting to really come on now. But I've always liked that he hasn't really allowed maybe some of those struggles to impact his effort and energy and his ability to still – influence games.
Yeah.
And so that's really cool to watch him from that standpoint, because a lot of people, when you're not scoring or whatever, you can kind of get disengaged. So I've liked just that process of watching him stick with it, being impactful, you know, seeing great effort on defense from what I've seen. And it's really kind of, you know, allowed him to now kind of get into a rhythm of where he's scoring the bucket better.
Yeah, I feel the same way as Zoe again. The biggest improvement I've seen is on the defensive end. And I think that trip to the Olympics where he could have been a guy to tap out and say, I'm exhausted after this finals run.
Yeah.
Got on the plane, went there, played a role that he's not really used to playing. I mean, normally he's the scorer.
Right.
They relied on Devin Booker in Tokyo for energy, for defense, and he gladly accepted that role, and I think it's
ball
made him a better defensive player.
As part of the Olympics,
yes.
A lot of ball movement.
And the shooting, it's weird right now because his overall shooting percentage is down quite a bit from last year. His three-point percentage is up to the highest figure it's been at this point. Now, I don't have any doubts the mid-range is going to come back around at a high percentage because, again, like we talked about with Chris Paul earlier, he's a guy who gets a spot. And when he gets a spot, it's normally 2 points. And I think that's going to come around a little bit more. But I've been thrilled with what I've seen from Devin Booker. I think overall we saw a little bit of case of the turnovers the other night. He's taking better care of the basketball, too.
Yeah. Yeah, his ability to take over in the fourth quarter when he's had a rough game until that point. I've been very, very impressed with them. Vinny, good stuff. Thanks for coming down, making the special trip. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Same to you guys.
Yeah, enjoy the well-earned
Enjoy
time
your
off.
Long weekend.
You can hear Vince Marotta on the Bickley and Marotta show every morning. Not the rest of this week because we're off with Thanksgiving, but from 6 until 10 on Bickley and Marotta mornings. Continuing with our Suns talk, we'll get an update on the happenings in the organization. State of the Suns, CEO and President Jason Rowley next on the Burns and Gambo show with Lorenzo Alexander filling in. State of the Suns every Wednesday at 3:30. We do talk with one of the key decision makers from the Phoenix Suns, and joining us right now on the Burns and Gambo show with Lorenzo Alexander filling in for Gambo, Suns President and CEO Jason Rowley, who joins us here on the Burns and Gambo show in the 72 Salt Sports Line. Jason, happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Hey, Burnsy, Lorenzo, same to you. I appreciate you making the time.
13 straight, trying to make it 14, and I would imagine that there's a lot of pride about that right now in those Phoenix Suns halls.
Well, I'll tell you, this is the time of year we're thankful for a lot of things, Burnsy, and what I'm actually thankful for as I think about it is the fact that how much Phoenix sports is overlooked by the national media. The Cardinals are being overlooked, we're being overlooked, and I think that's a great thing. It's something to be thankful for because it makes it that much better for all of our fan base and all the community when we continue to have this kind of success. So, sitting at 14-3 right now, unbelievable. But you know what? If you look at the track record of our team over the last two seasons, it really shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. But for some reason, it still does seem to be a surprise to some nationally. So this is just, I think, a great opportunity tonight to continue building on this winning streak and, get a day off tomorrow for the guys to celebrate Thanksgiving and then, a couple of big games in New York. So very excited to be in this position.
I would imagine, I'm glad you talked about the national attention because obviously we played the comments from Mikal Bridges. He was on that podcast and there's been a lot of conversation about the attention that they're not getting. First and foremost, I imagine over the next couple of weeks, that's going to start to change a little bit for you guys. You're playing the Brooklyn Nets this weekend. They're high profile. And not that you're dependent on who you play to get attention, but with those teams that kind of get the attention naturally, I would imagine you're going to have some eyeballs on you because of that.
You're exactly right. I look at two key matchups coming up here. We have, obviously, the game against the Nets coming up here later in the week. And then that huge game on November 30th against Golden State. I expect our team to continue to have success over the next couple of games, but that's a big one to circle on the calendar. I think from a national standpoint, just gaining that respect and garnering that respect, everybody is focused on the Warriors for a lot of years and for fair reasons and obvious reasons. But, when you see that the two top teams in the league going against each other, heading into the winter, and heading into these Christmas games and things like that, it's just a lot of things to be excited about. And so for our team to be right in the mix and for our community to be and our fans to be focusing in on that, I think it's a great thing. And so a lot of things to be excited about.
Jason Rowley from the Phoenix Suns, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo show. I'm going to refer to a tweet that Devin Booker sent out. I think it was a week ago tonight when you played, or maybe it was a week ago from Wednesday when you played Dallas the first time, in which he said, I can remember when we were on national TV once a year. I'm sure you remember those days as well. I'm looking at the schedule now. NBA TV against the Nets on Saturday, TNT against the Warriors on Tuesday, ESPN against the Celtics on Friday, December 10th. I could go on and on. Portland TNT, Lakers TNT, Golden State on Christmas Day. When you compare and contrast the national attention you used to get to what you have now, what do you think about when you think about those days when you weren't on national TV a whole bunch?
That's a great point. And we used to get a little frustrated at the people like Devin Booker, with all the skills and potential that he had, wasn't getting the kind of attention that we thought he deserved. But the fact of the matter is, that's what our business is. When you're on national television, you start to have this situation where fans across the country, and frankly for our business across the globe, start to have name recognition for the players in your team. So it's not just for Devin, but all of a sudden DeAndre, Mikhail, Cam Johnson, Cam Payne, these guys that otherwise might not have the same level of recognition across the country, in prior years, but the fact that we're having the success we're having now and being in a position to get exposed to all these other markets, it's great for our guys. It's certainly great for our brand. It's great for the Phoenix community and for Suns fans who have stuck with us through all the lean years to be able to see. You know, I know people always kind of say, hey, I've been here for years. The bandwagoners can hit the road. But the way I look at it is you want to have as many people supporting your team as possible. And the fact that we are seeing, you know, it's just the numbers in terms of people who are attracted to our brand and our team and our players across the nation, that's a great thing. And it's something we should be very proud of. As a community and certainly as a team. So I think it's great for us to see.
I was going
to
ask you about how you track that. And I've always been curious about this in a social media world. To what extent do you guys go through to be able to track what impact you're having on social media in terms of hits, in terms of follows, in terms of views, in terms of this, in terms of that? I mean, when you start talking about the star power that you have on this team, how on what regular of a basis do you guys track what kind of impact you're having on those mediums?
Well, so we track it very closely, as does the league, and the industry does as well. But, you know, there's a bunch of different metrics. The jersey sales, for example, and not just here locally, but we have a great partnership with Fanatics, who's one of the largest apparel retailers in the world. And when they start looking at and providing us reports and updates and information about how much interest there is in people acquiring DeAndre Ayton jerseys and Chris Paul jerseys with the Valley on it and Devin Booker jerseys, and you start seeing your numbers start to climb up the rankings, if you will, it's great to see from a business standpoint. But more than anything, it's just that pride that I think we all feel for our local sports teams, and knowing that the things that we've appreciated for a lot of years and known that there's a ton of potential there, starting to see that come to fruition. And again, look, the Cardinals are great friends of ours, and I'd say the same thing about them. The fact that you're seeing the players on these teams and the teams themselves starting to get more and more of that recognition nationally, it's good for our city, it's good for our community, it's good for our state. It demonstrates that that in terms of being a bigger player in the national market, that Phoenix is coming into its own, and sports teams have a big part in driving that. So for us to be able to be on the forefront of that right now is really something special.
Jason, we appreciate the time as always. Best of luck tonight against Cleveland. Have a very, very happy Thanksgiving with friends and family, however you're celebrating it, and we'll talk soon.
Gentlemen, thank you. I appreciate it. Same to you.
Got Jason Rowley joining us here on the 72 Sold Sports Line. Get your price at 72sold.com. Suns and the Cavs tonight coming up at 5 o'clock. You'll hear it on ESPN 620 when we come back. Do want to remind you first, before I tell you about what we're talking about when we come back, the Burns and Gambo podcast. You can subscribe right now on your iPhone or your Android. You'll never miss any of the show. The Burns and Gambo podcast brought to you this week by your Valley Chevy dealer. With the good surrounding the Cardinals organization on and off the field right now, it's kind of easy to miss the things that haven't worked so well, at least so far this season, like rookie linebacker Zaven Collins and his role and how it's diminished recently. We'll talk with Zoe about that next on the Burns and Gambo show. Back here with you on the Burns and Gambo show, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Lorenzo Alexander filling in for Gambo today. Drew the short straw. I was thrilled when you said yes, but I remember thinking to myself, man, surely Lorenzo Alexander has better things to do the day before Thanksgiving. So
yeah, it took me a while.
Thank you.
It took me a while to say yes. You know, I got asked a couple of times, and I just said, okay, I'll do it. I mean, got pressure.
I mean, it's because I know how today goes, right? Everybody's like in vacation mode. Everybody's got, you even went to the office, you got one foot out the door, and you're probably only there for 2 hours.
Essentially, yeah.
It's not exactly a work day. So when Gambo wanted today off, I thought, oh man, who are we going to get to fill in? The fact that it's you?
Just trying to be a team player.
I salute you. I thank you. Yeah. What am I thankful for? I'm thankful for Lorenzo Alexander working on the day before Thanksgiving, because, man, I really appreciate that. Let's talk about Zaven Collins. And, man, you're the perfect guy to talk to about this, I think, because I don't know what you thought at the beginning of the season, if you felt the same way I did about this narrative of Zaven Collins just, okay, he's the guy, you know, right. Doesn't matter what he's done up until this point, doesn't matter if he's earned it or not, he's going to be the starter.
Yeah.
Man, his snap counts have evaporated the last few, partially because he's, I think he's a little banged up, but clearly the Cardinals have pivoted off that game plan
right.
with Zaven Collins. What do you think that says about him and where he's at and where they're at with him right now?
You know, when you spend a first round draft pick on a guy, ideally, just like Isaiah Simmons last year, you want them to play early and often. That's probably one of the biggest things that's transitioned in the NFL during my tenure. There where rookies didn't play at all to now when you draft a guy that high that you want them to be immediate starters.
Yep.
And so I think what happened is that he's just not ready, and they are in a place to where you have a veteran like Hicks where you don't have to play him, and there's no reason to put a guy out there that's not ready to handle the workload of a starter and have to deal with all of the nuances that a Mike linebacker has to do with as far as making the call, making the checks, dealing with adjustments within the game. And that's why you saw him in small sample sizes and trying to put him in places of strength, right? His biggest strength is playing downhill, hitting you in the mouth, making plays in the backfield because he's a big guy. But I think, much like Isaiah Simmons, that he'll be much better next year. And for whatever reason, it just hasn't clicked yet. And so, you know, he's still playing special teams. And you know, my advice would be work while you wait. Make plays on special teams because he is a nightmare as far as matchups. You got a big guy that can run. And then as you get healthier, you know, and the opportunity comes and Vance Joseph figures out a matchup where he can use you in thing, go out there and make plays. But right now it's just going to be Hicks. And I really like Isaiah Simmons. They even slid him in since Tanner Vallejo went down, putting him in the middle too. And he played really well last game.
Yeah, it's been – I mean, they started him off – 22 snaps, 25 snaps, 28 snaps. He's out there a third of the time, 40% of the time. Got as high as 57% of the snaps against Houston in week 7. And then he had the injury against Green Bay. But since then, three snaps, 23 snaps against Carolina, zero snaps against Seattle, which look, here's the thing, at least from my perspective, here's the thing about that is that normally – this wouldn't be that big of a deal. In fact, it's really not that big of a deal at all because they're 9-2, because
right.
they're winning. It you know, because all these other moves from Steve Keim have paid off so well. It's just what makes the thing so odd to me, and it was from the minute they drafted him, how sure they were that he was going to be the guy. You know, right. I'm being an old school football soul the way you are.
Right.
You know, getting that title without earning that title, man, it just didn't fit right. It never felt right at all.
It happens though, and I've been in Jordan Hicks's spot, and unfortunately for me, the guys actually panned out and played well. You know, Ryan Kerrigan. You know, I had gained the starting position in Washington in 2010, and they drafted him the next year, and I went back to being that rotational player coming off the bench. You know, Tremaine Edmonds, another guy. I didn't quite play his position, but they gave him the spot immediately when he stepped in, and those guys performed at a high level where they earned the trust of the coaching staff. And not to say that Zaven hasn't, but when you have a guy like Hicks who's performing well, you have a rookie that may not be where you need him to be as far as going out there and doing everything at a high level. Maybe he can't quite handle it yet, and that's okay. It is a maturation process, which you see with some young players, and that's why they're using him in certain spots. And that's what came to be. Ideally, they would have loved for him to start, but that's not the nature of it.
Here's Vance Joseph yesterday. He was asked why Zaven Collins didn't get a defensive snap last week against Seattle. Here was his response.
He's doing fine, Darren. You know, he got nicked a couple weeks ago. You know, he missed a couple weeks of practice, and I kind of set him back a little bit. But he's back, and he's repping. He's getting better and better every single day. You know, most rookies, you know, it's really on their terms as far as how fast they grow. And he was doing a good job and playing really well for us, and he got nicked. And he missed a couple of weeks of practice, and I kind of slowed him down a little bit. And Tanner obviously was playing good football for us. And during that time, you know, he played so well, you know, I didn't want to change it back to Zaven, you know, being a full-time guy in our star package. So, but he's back and he's working and he's looking forward to get more reps next week.
I got to say, because they're 9-2, it's fine, right? I mean, it's I don't think anyone's complaining that Zaven Collins isn't playing. I don't think anyone's, you know, like, uh-oh, he's not playing, bad sign, you know. Right. It's they're 9-2, they're getting production from the guys who are playing. And maybe in the long run this will be better for him, because if he can have that kind of Isaiah Simmons year next year where he watches, learns, and then next year he's ready to contribute, then he might be in a better position to actually play well as opposed to this year where he's just played so sparingly the way he has.
Yeah, and that's fine. To Van Joseph's spot, all rookies aren't created equally as far as the right. learning curve and how fast they pick things up. You know, maybe if he was in a different system, maybe a more simplistic system, maybe it'd be easier for him, but Vance Joseph has a lot of nuances, you know, a lot of different blitzes, and it changes week to week. And so, especially once you get in the season, so Zaven may have a great understanding of their base blitzes and their base first and second down. But once you start throwing these little nuances in, it may slow him down a little bit, and you don't want to put a guy out there and put him in a bad spot. So Vance is doing the right thing, bringing a guy along as much as he can handle, because you want to build confidence. So when he step out here next year and it's really on him, he's ready to go, and you haven't really broken him.
When we come back here on the Burns and Gambo show on this Wednesday, a Cardinals franchise record was broken today. Who broke it, and how was it broken when they didn't actually practice? That's next on the Burns and Gambo show.